And this is the Grace Hour Show podcast that comes to you live. Today is coming to you live from Greater Grace Church in Baltimore. I'm Pastor Steve Androlonis. With me today, Pastor Ronaldo Brown. It's an all Baltimore day. So, and we are talking about the gifts of the Spirit this week. And our topic today is the gift of faith, as Paul relates to us in 1 Corinthians 12, 9. Are there people who are equipped with a gift of faith that is above and beyond? I think that is any faith, I think, is above and beyond, because we live by the faith of the Son of God, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Galatians 2:20, we live by the faith that the life that we now live, we live by the faith of the Son of God. But there are specific people, maybe you know some of them, that have like just a way of faith that seems to be a little amped up or something.
Sure.
But we're going to try and demystify that, and we don't want anyone to feel that their faith is in any way natural. Well, you can have natural faith, mm-hmm. but we want you to understand that saving faith is real,
yes.
and it is from God, and it is a gift of God.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about a different category, maybe, or a different, maybe not category, but a different...
portion.
Yeah, there you go, different portion. But Pastor Ronaldo, kick us off. Let's see what we got here.
Okay.
You got faith promise on your
That's
shirt
right,
there.
Too,
That's right, we're
way,
talking about that.
Don't forget, give to missions.
That's right.
Just a thought here. This week we've been talking about discovering the gifts of the Spirit. And this has been a good week. I mean, most folks, you discern your portion in the body based on the discovery of your gifts. So you tend to be a gift hunter before you understand your portion.
Wow.
So if we're gonna start hunting gifts, and unfortunately that's what you're gonna do, because you're gonna derive your value based on what you do. When you don't know doctrine, that's what you do. So a lot of times people enter a church and they want to discover, find, recognize, cultivate, produce, develop the gifts. And there's 22 major gifts in the Word of God that's to the church. Just giving you a little background here. You've got the lists of them are pretty much in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Romans chapter 4. I'm sorry, Romans chapter 12, rather, 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians chapter 4. You've got the gifts that are given by the Spirit. We would say those instruments of participation in God's plan. So this gift we're talking about today, the gift of faith, is one of those 22. So it's unique.
Yeah.
And the way that Paul mentions it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says it this way. He says, to another, the gifts of healing. He says, to another, faith by the same Spirit. And when he uses the word another there, he's speaking about a quality of faith that's beyond the believer, everyone's universal gift of faith. The universal gift of faith for everyone in the church. It's just like the universal gift to everyone that we have to give. We all have a mandate to give, but there are certain people that are gifted by the Holy Spirit to be a giver. And that's important, because you don't want to run around thinking that I have to go hunt for this gift of faith. This is a specific gift that's given by the Holy Spirit. Like a gift of wisdom. We all have wisdom, but there's a gift of wisdom. We all evangelize, but there's a gift of an evangelist. And that's important, because if you're not careful, you're going to try to ascribe to grab these gifts.
Yeah.
So this is a specific gift. There's faith to live by, right?
Mm-hmm.
Both unbeliever and believer live by faith in some respects. There's faith as a fruit. There's faith as a gift. And then there's this specific gift that's given as one of the sign gifts or manifestation gifts among the 22 that believers are given at the point of salvation generally. I mean, there might be a sovereign case. God adds something to someone's mm-hmm. life for a season. But generally, God... In 1 Corinthians 12, 13, God gives us, he gives us specific gifts that help us reveal his life through us and our portion in his plan. It's a real thing. Let me just start it like that way, Pastor. It's
yes.
a real thing.
A real thing.
It's not like this person's faith is, it's not about my faith is better than yours.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean my faith is stronger necessarily than yours, but this is a unique portion. It's extraordinary. What it's not the faith to believe in Christ, that's saving faith. Because Paul's audience he's talking to in 1 Corinthians 12, they're already saved.
Yeah.
So he's not talking about saving faith here. This is the saving faith can grow. We're saved by faith, and then we participate in salvation by faith, and that faith grows through the word in Romans 10:17. That faith grows as we mature. And this is faith more or less that's common to all believers, right? But then there's even, like I said, the unsaved also have faith. This is not what this is talking about. This is not even the faith to carry out progressive sanctification. This is not even, that's the Galatians 2:20. This is not even that faith, with a faith that helps me to grow and know and go in God. This is not that faith either. What this is, though, is a real gift. This is a real gift, as real as any of the other gifts, as important as any of the other gifts. Unfortunately, a lot of folks, because of the ignorance of this gift, they have counterfeited and hijacked it with wrong motives to preach prosperity and use it to feed their hunger for money, if I can be blunt. And they say, I've got the, this is what they use. It's not so much about believing, but it's about the power to do miracles. So they think, they teach that this gift of faith is how I do miracles. So I'm different than you. I'm doing miracles based upon this gift of faith. And that's far from what, it's a far exaggeration of what Paul's intent here. It may be faith to perform miracles, and you can see that in 1 Corinthians 13 and 2 in different places. But I tend to look at this gift this way. It's more than just wonder-working faith. That's part of it, but not all of it. In other words, it's not like this gift is only functional when I'm performing miracles, or this gift is only functional when wonders are happening. It's more, Martin Luther said it this way. It's a living, daring confidence in God's grace. I'm so sure and certain that a man could stake his life on it 1,000 times. I like his definition. It's more expansive.
Yeah.
It's extraordinary faith that you have been empowered by the Holy Spirit, gifted by the Holy Spirit with an extraordinary faith, which may include wonder-working faith, but it's more than that. It's an extraordinary portion of faith that manifests itself, I would say, Pastor Steve, in extraordinary confidence in God's word, God's power, God's presence, God's visions. And it may possess the person to stand in the work of God with the people of God in unique situations, and it may include miraculous manifestations.
It may include that. Yeah, I think that's, yeah, you're defining that very well. Just thinking about like that, you know, it's for the body's sake. It's for the, well, it's for the purpose of God's sake. It's like, I like the way that you're saying that gift hunting is not a biblical premise. It's like, you know, just, it's counterintuitive. If you got to hunt for a gift, it's not really a gift.
No.
It's like you're contriving a way. You're looking for the treasure map. And that's the way we are. Yeah. We want that. We want the fastest route to success, to prosperity, to anything. So, you know, if you can have this kind of faith, but I think we all know people that have like a level of confidence in God that is like, that he has given them for the work of the ministry, for the advancement of things. Mm-hmm. And, thousands of soldiers were just looking at Goliath the whole time. And here comes a guy.
Yes.
You know, and his gift of faith had been developed by some success guarding the flock as a shepherd boy. So when he charged into the battle that way, he had a measure of faith that God had given him and also nurtured. You know, it's like we have saving faith. We're not talking about sanctifying faith, but we are talking about, you know, God specifically equipping somebody for the moment. And, I mean, just on a grand historical level, I think some people could say that Dr. Martin Luther King had like a measure of faith in God, and also it's something that we're short of. We are people who believe in the depravity of man. Sure. And Dr. Martin Luther King believed that there was some measure of goodness in all people, that something could be accomplished. And he put himself out there for something like that. He had him, you know, and there's been no one like him since, right?
Yep.
There have been some pretenders who've tried to take the mantle from him, but they didn't have the gift of faith that he had, you know, to be out in front of people saying the things that he did, you know? And I would say, like, maybe some people are saying that's sacrilegious. Did he have a gift of faith? And I said, well, you know, there was something about him that magnetized a group of people, a million people to come and listen to him preach on the mall in one August that time. So what happened there? Was that a gift of faith? I guess, you know, it was more than just charisma, right? Yeah. Well, can we agree on that?
I would say, and that's the thing about the gift of faith. I want you to get beyond just mature faith. We've been around believers who have mature faith. That's not what Paul is talking about here. He's not talking about people that have been in the fire, that have grown, and that they have strong faith. They have experienced faith. I want to say they have matured and experiential faith. This is something different. There's maturing of faith, and then there's the gift of faith. These certain individuals have been gifted in God's kingdom to have a faith that actually, number one, that actually are able to not only reveal God and believe God supernaturally in a stronger way, but they're able, and this is where it gets into a corporate blessing, because that's what the gifts are for,
yes,
to bless the body. They're able to empower and to motivate and spiritually energize people to believe in circumstances where there's no belief. And that's an interesting thought. I've never thought about that. It's entirely possible he may have had a gift of faith. When you're around a person that has a gift of faith, let me give you some key characteristics. They have this supernatural trust. They have an ability or trust and confidence to believe God in seemingly impossible situations. Their faith can manifest and go way beyond ordinary things. There may be the performance of miracles. They can see and believe and possibly express God's power in unexpected ways. They can boldly proclaim God's will. They have a divine empowerment to act in a way that kind of connects and aligns with God's will in a super ordinary way. It can lead to, like I said, individual manifestations, but they can motivate a room. They can empower a situation. They can change a direction. It can be made known through a vision. Again, it's one of those gifts that the Bible's not super specific about. So that's why the Bible's not super specific, you leave a lot of room for interpretation. And a lot of guys have wrongly interpreted this gift and used it to just marry it to just miracles. And if you read most commentators, by and large, they narrow it to just wonder-working power, wonder-working faith. And that's not wrong. That's just a bit narrow, because this gift, in other words, what they're saying is that this gift is only activated when miracles are performed. And that's a little too narrow for the scope of faith. It's too narrow for the scope of a gift. Otherwise, I'm in the body of Christ and I'm doing miracles. I've got the gift of faith. And it's not that simple. It's not that specific. And I have a hard time with that because of the way that Paul is speaking here. This is something that's going to be benefiting the body, not just a manifestation that's physical, but something that's more than that, that empowers people's lives. Like you mentioned with Martin Luther King Jr., that he had the ability to empower people with his faith.
Yeah.
And to have them believe with him beyond what they normally would. And it's not that their faith was weak. And we're not saying that this person with a gift of faith walks into a room of people that are of unbelief and he gets them to suddenly believe.
Yeah.
That's part of it. But we're talking about people that actually walk with God, but this person, because of their faith in who God is and in their connection of faith and their extraordinary portion of faith, they can empower folks who believe to a point to believe greater and further. And even this is another manifestation that you can also see this in scriptures. They have the faith to wait on God for a long period of time at a high level.
Yeah.
This may be situational. It may be circumstantial, but it seems to be consistent. They consistently demonstrate this. Like, okay, do I have a gift of faith because I believe God for my grandmother to get saved for 30 years? Okay, that could be true, but it could just be you believing God too. It might be maturing faith. But we're talking about this kind of demonstration over a period of time that this person can sit and they can wait and they can believe, and they can believe at a high level. And it's a very unique gift in the body of Christ. There are more folks who say they have it and probably don't than those who don't have it, who don't say they have it and probably do.
Yeah. I think you made a good point. Like, what if they really have the gift of faith, then the self-promotion will not be there.
Yes.
When a person could have this gift of faith, demonstrate it, and then it becomes something that they are occupied with.
Mm.
And I think it's really kind of interesting because when we know the setting of Corinthians and what was going on in Corinth and what Paul, he wrote two long letters, some say three, some say the second one is a combination, however many letters he wrote, we know that, you know, he was, you know, teaching them to understand who God is. And, you know, one was the division, one was the idea of singleness and marriage. The other is these kind of things, you know, we have a faith that we can dismiss sin, you know, that all of the things Paul is addressing to the problems with the Corinthians. And I think, but whenever we look at both letters of the Corinthians, we have to come with that, you know, that central focus that he brought in 1 Corinthians 13. He says, I'm telling you all kinds of things, but none of this matters unless you get this point about charity, about the love of God. And like the gift of faith, like any other gift, is really based on a relationship. You know, we're not earning it. We are seek ye first the kingdom of God. And this gift may come, and it may come for a moment, and not be something that you carry with you all the time.
Yes.
Like we may not need, like, you know, like I'm thinking of, okay, think of Hophni and Phinehas in, is it 1 Samuel?
Yes.
Hophni and Phinehas, they say, let's bring the Ark of God. They had no gift of faith. They had like a superstition that if the Ark of God is with them, we're going to win. And it blew up in their face and the Ark was gone. The Ark could take care of itself because it belonged to God. And we know that from the rest of the story. So they did not have a gift of faith, but somebody could become like, you know, superstitious about this. Like if we just had this person here, then everything would be all right because they had a gift of faith. And this is like, this is not living in the spiritual realm, right? Is that there's no quietness there.
Yes.
Because in quietness and confidence shall be your strength, Isaiah 30, 15. So if there's no quietness and rest in who God is, then the kind of confidence that you have in the natural or the superstition is just going to fail you at some point.
Yeah, I think you've got to be grounded in what is the truth of who you are in Christ, number one.
There we go.
Number two, you also have to see it this way. You have to say, okay, I am not ascribing for the gift of faith, but I am pursuing God to grow in my faith. Let's not confuse growing in my faith as a maturing believer, that's the Galatians 2:20 you mentioned, versus cultivating an actual gift of the 22. Like say I've got a gift as an evangelist, or I've got a gift of knowledge or whatever the gift that I may have in the body of Christ that gets developed by the leadership in mature believers that gets developed. So that's growing. So it's kind of like, okay, my gifts are growing, but also my faith in God generally is also growing. So we cannot grow in our gift without growing in our faith. So growing in my faith will actually help me grow in the gift of faith. So let's not confuse the two, but this gift it's extraordinary in the sense that it's more than just me growing experientially in my trust and belief in God. That by itself alone, all believers have. And by the way, all of us are growing in our faith. Every step we take in the journey of faith, we are growing in our experience and our faith with God at different levels in different ways. But Paul here is not speaking in a general way. He's speaking in a specific way, and he's being very, very specific about the wording that he uses here, about a quality of faith, not necessarily quality as in good and bad, but as in variation, as in different. This is a different kind of faith. And evidently, this is able to be, isolated or to identify. That's a good word. It's able to be identified. Just like all the other 22 gifts, if it can be identified, then number one, it could be part of a gift set. You may have the gift of faith in something else. Don't think about a list. Think about a mix. You've got a mix of gifts. This could be part of your mix. Number two, it's spirit regulated. The Holy Spirit is the one that guides the spirit of faith. So if I weaponize my spirit of faith to say, you've got to do this, or God told me to tell you to sell your business, or, you know, I'm saying to this, I'm going to heal you today, or stop taking your blood pressure medicine. Okay. It's a spirit regulated. the gifts are spirit regulated. And they're revealed by the spirit. They're given by the spirit, revealed by the spirit. They're regulated by the spirit. They're directed by the spirit. And they're ultimately grown in the spirit. They're God given. They're not earned. There's degrees and portions of it. Like you might have two men that have the gift of say, pastoring, but their degrees and portions based upon their call. It's not a sign of spirituality. Someone that has a gift of faith does not mean they're more spiritual than you. And it's also not a guarantee of spirituality. I've seen a guy who overseas, I've seen a guy perform what I believed he was operating in the gift of faith. And I've seen miraculous supernatural things. And I also know that guy is not can be carnal. I've seen him carnal. So just because he's done this in this venue doesn't make this guy spiritual. But unfortunately, because we live by sight, any kind of a sign gift, all the sign gifts kind of make you rock stars in the church because you know, hey, by the way, I've got a sign gift. Look at me, live by sight. Versus some gifts, like someone who's got a gift of mercy, it's not so seen. You tend not to regulate that. And Paul addresses this in 1 Corinthians 12 when he talks about, just because I'm telling you what the gifts are, I'm not ranking them to say that one gift is necessarily better than another one. You're not less because you don't have this gift. But I want to say you want to make sure that this gift operates in 1 Corinthians 14:40. Decently and in order.
There we are.
Yeah. Which is really? Paul's argument in Corinthians to begin with. It's love motivated. This gift of faith is consistent, but sometimes it's situational.
Yeah.
We've been taught over the years that your gift is not for every place. You may be gifted, but the Holy Spirit may not lead you to use your gift in this situation. Mm-hmm. And though your desire is to use your gift because you feel your gift is warranted in this situation, our gifts are not used based upon our direction, but they're used based upon the direction and opportunity of God, which is why if you read the scriptures, guys have gifts of healing. They do not heal whenever they want to. And in this time, maybe they weren't led to, and God said, no, you're going to, right? So our gifts are not for our direction, our control, or even our approval. And like any other gift, particularly sign gifts, like any other gift, it can be misused, it can be abused, it can be neglected. I think because it's such a isolated gift, it's such a... not much is said about a gift.
That's right.
Number one, it's abused.
Yeah.
Number two, it's hardly recognized. Number three, it's challenging to cultivate.
Yeah.
It's not an easy topic. It's not an easy gift. Most guys just write off and say, okay, it's wonder working power. That's what it looks like. But it's more than that.
Mm. Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, the lack of specifics when you, because it's like, what is the gift of faith? What's it look like? People can color it their own ways.
And they do.
And this is an issue. I think that's why Paul is like very careful to say, you know, I'm going to show you the more excellent way. Let me just get things all under wraps. You know,
sure.
if you don't have the relationship with God, the God who is love, then any gift giving could be used the wrong way. And, and if you think you're something special because you got a gift, I have an Old Testament character for you, and his name is Samson.
Oh, wow.
It's like, just, you know, whatever you think, like maybe, well, God gave me this gift because I'm something. I said, well, go back and look at, like you were saying, like you said, like the guy that you knew, I've seen him do miracles of faith and then him operate carnally, you know, his car has a flat tire and there's like F-bombs everywhere or something. I don't know that. I'm not saying I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry about that. I don't know who that is and everything. So, but I apologize. Anyway, I'm just saying, like, it is like, you know, when we look at the thing of Samson, the Holy Spirit came on, the Holy Spirit came off, the Holy Spirit came on, the Holy Spirit came off, then the Holy Spirit really came off. Mm. And then one last time the Holy Spirit came on, and he was more successful when he pulled down the temple than when he was in any other point in his life. And I'm just, you know, when we're looking at like the gifts and calling of God, they are given, like as it goes in that passage, verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 12, it's given severally as the Spirit wills. Mm-hmm. So like you said, the gift of faith could come in a moment to someone, like here's and that person gets that gift and it does something really spectacularly extraordinary, But like to say that that is normative, that is where we get into the problem, right?
Yeah.
We are starting to create a movement, and sometimes that movement, rather than coalescing with people drawing near to God, mm-hmm. it coalesces upon around a personality.
Yep.
And we know that that is like, that is, that's the wreckage of the Christian ministry over the history, right?
Yep.
People who had, you know, use their gift for personal gain, and suddenly they become, and people were attracted to it.
Sure.
Right?
First of all, it's visual.
Yeah.
More often, let me say it this way. Most people's understanding of the gift is visual.
Yeah.
So when I say I have this gift, the first thing you think of is visible. So if I demonstrate any kind of visibility at all, first of all, how can you proof this gift? Well, yeah. Did I do any miracles? Okay, then I proofed it. And then, or I manipulate circumstances to make it appear like I've been miraculous. And that's the sad thing about this particular gift. A lot is not said about it. So in the vacuum of information, people have filled it in. Like I said, if you research it, you'll find most guys just co-sign the wonder-working power of it. But really, there's a threefold benefit for this gift in the body of Christ, because that's the point of gifts. The first one is to encourage the congregation. Notice I didn't say heal the congregation, because that's a very small part of encouragement. God encourages me, but there's a lot of things he doesn't heal in my life, but he encourages me. So it encourages the congregation, and a possessor of this gift, when they function their gift in the spirit, can be a phenomenal encourager to the congregation, even through warfare, even through trials. They have an ability to stand, and people will stand with them. It's amazing. That's one. Another benefit is it gives hope to believers. Never mind, we already walked by faith. This is an extraordinary hope. That's the hope against hope, like Abraham in Romans 4. And then it's also a witness to unbelievers. That might be more of the miraculous side, a witness to unbelievers. So there's a threefold benefit to this particular gift. It kind of instills confidence in God's ability in individuals and as a church to reach the vision of God, to spread the gospel, yes. Make disciples. I mean, where is this gift going? Absolutely. Where is it going? That's the question. Is it just looking at me, as you said, or is it building the kingdom and glorifying God? I would like to say that this is one of those, the theme this week is developing your gifts given by the Holy Spirit. This is going to be a challenging one in the respect that it's part of your faith walk with God, but it's also a unique gift that is cultivated a little bit differently. I would say, like any other gift, it's submitted to the body. Hmm. It's under the covering of the leadership. It's empowered by the Holy Spirit. Even in itself, it requires faith to operate like every other gift does. There's ways that you can feed this. I think when you feed your faith, you will feed your gift of faith. Just like when you feed your faith, you'll feed your any other gift. I don't want to glorify a gift. I don't want to elevate one gift among the other ones, but the same approach I have towards all the other gifts would be the same approach I have towards this gift. Mm. And I don't want to reduce it to, but I don't want to minimize it and just say with two sentences, every time he performs a miracle, that's the gift of faith. No, because if you study scriptures and also historically, regular believers have been used randomly and consistently throughout time in a miraculous way. I don't have the gift of faith, but I've been involved in some situations where I've seen God move miraculously through me. And I realize that's like, that could be one of two things. That could be God just honoring my faith with not necessarily the gift of faith, or that could be seasonally or situationally, the gift of faith coming on me from God for that moment, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Or the third one could be that there's an individual could have the actual gift of faith, which is extremely challenging to nail down. And I think any man who says that they can, most guys I know, it's two sentences, it's a paragraph, and they walk away because God is not super clear on this gift. But it's obvious in the New Testament church for a century, this gift was functional.
Okay.
It's very obvious when you see the history, the first 100 years of the church, this gift was highly functional. And I would argue it's functional today, buried among the sea of charlatans, counterfeits, con men, crooks that run around performing counterfeit miracles. There are actual people that possess this gift.
Mm.
And they're in the body of Christ and they're used by God.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a question. I'm just trying to think, like, could this gift be dormant in someone? I'm thinking of the parable of the talents.
Okay.
So you think of the person with 10 talents, they go out, they use their gifts, you know, they have these talents, they didn't earn them, they were given, and then they were employed to multiply. Same thing. And then the one guy buried it. We know that he was the one that was rebuked. And I'm just thinking, like, the guy who buried his gift, he could have had the gift of faith, would have made everything right. I'm just thinking it could be that way. I'm thinking, like, how well do you know the master? That's the secret. How well do you know the master? And, like, and this person didn't know the master in terms of as the God of love. He knew the master as a hard taskmaster. And so whatever capacity he had, he wasn't willing to step into that. And so, you know, maybe I'm far afield from this, this topic, but I'm just thinking, like, you know, you're saying, like, in the exercise of your gift, in the stepping out of your gift, I'm thinking when Noah had a gift to build the ark, you know, he had to exercise faith every day in spite of, you know, maybe wicked opposition. Was he taunted? Was he mocked? No doubt, you know, but he still exercised the gift that he had, believing that God was going to bring this. He had an extraordinary faith in a wicked age. And the ark got built. And, you know, only his family saw it up close and personal. And so 8 people survived the flood, him and 7 others. So that's, you know, it's kind of interesting. I like what we've been saying about this, because we know that, you know, it could be that someone, you know, could really try and make themselves somebody by saying this gift of faith I have is something that you must submit to. And if you don't submit to it, you are not of God. And that is a dangerous person in your world, right?
If you weaponize the gifts, any of the 22 gifts, it becomes manipulative, becomes carnal, becomes prideful, and becomes dangerous. Actually, you can hurt people. I think, like you said, let's not make this gift different than the rest.
No.
In the sense that
it's not elevated to a level.
Or even isolated. I don't want to do that either. I want to approach it like I approach all the other gifts, like we have all week. That if I grow with the giver, then he'll reveal the gift. So I think you're right. There are people that this gift could be dormant in. And one of the reasons why is maybe as a believer, when I join a church, I'm a gift hunter. I'm hunting the gift without a relationship with the giver. And I keep thinking that if I'm going to find it in the body of Christ, I'm going to discover it. People start talking to me. Maybe you've got this gift. Maybe you have that gift. They start telling you these things. And all of a sudden, now you have a community-driven analysis of what gifts you do or don't have. But there has to be a double witness. It has to be God himself that reveals it. If he gave it, then he reveals it in his season, in his time. So if I want to know whether I have the gift of faith or any gift for that matter, my relationship with God is tantamount to me discovering what that is.
Yeah.
So I'll say, okay, this is Pastor. I know what you're saying. A lot of this, I can't get my hand around. I can't like give you like a bullet point. Okay, this is what the gift is. It's explained or revealed directly in the scriptures as much as it probably is, but there's manifestations that we can put our hand on and say, that could be the gift of faith. That's a picture of the gift of faith. And we always seem to gravitate to the miracles, the wondrous, like Moses splits the Red Sea. Is that the gift of faith? Joshua, the Jordan River, is that the gift of faith? You could argue Paul had the gift of faith. You could argue that Acts 16, he's in jail. He had the gift of faith. Three manifestations here, 3 ways to look at this. Yeah. There's the consistent gift.
Yeah.
That's one of the 22.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, it's me as a believer in an extraordinary situation that God is seasonally in that moment, giving me that gift, the manifestation of faith in that unique situation. I may not possess the gift, but in this moment, God expresses that through me. And then number three, it could just be a situation where I just have very mature faith.
Yeah.
And I don't possess the gift at all.
Yeah.
Or number four, I have the gift and it's dormant and hasn't been revealed by the Holy Spirit yet. You know?
Yeah, the one I'm thinking of this, maybe you make a comment on this, is there's the Proverb 18:16 that says, A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. You know, that second half may be like, oh, that means I'm going to come into the corporate boardroom.
I'm going to meet the elders or something. Yeah, I get you.
Well, you know, I mean, Daniel had a great gift and it brought him before Nebuchadnezzar.
Right.
And it led to a king's salvation. Right. When we read, you know, Nebuchadnezzar's relationship with God there and how God was speaking to him at a certain point, I have to believe that Nebuchadnezzar, in spite of what he might have done as a king and ordering murders and, you know, death and everything like that, it seems like he came to a real consciousness of who was the real God of all things. But like that gift that Daniel had brought him into that place. And I think we've been with people, we know people who have like a capacity. We want those people near us. Mm-hmm. We know that, you know, when we have a discernment, we are not intimidated by the fact that someone might have more faith than we have and that God may have actually equipped them to be with me, who's lacking in that. And so that's the whole thing. Like Paul is saying to the Corinthian church, you're divided, you're compromising, you're like, you have wrong idea of like family and relationships. I'm just telling you, the gifts of God are here for you. Mm-hmm. And if they're operating in love, then the assembly will be what it's supposed to be, which is like dynamic and attractive to the outside world. And also sustaining, like people come in and get what they need about who they are supposed to be and who they're supposed to be living with. So, right? Yeah. So our gift will make room for us. So we don't have to force our way in with it. If you got the gift of faith, it'll happen, right?
You got to reveal it. And that's the key. I don't want to walk through the body of Christ defining my place by what I do. And if I'm not careful, you could take a series like this week and say, okay, discovering my gifts. It could almost be like a mission. Okay, I got to discover my gifts. And I don't want to have a driving spirit to discover my portion. I'd rather get to know Christ, intimacy with him. And then that intimacy gives birth to intimacy in the body of Christ. And then the gifts are revealed. They're discerned. If these things are spiritually discerned, if the Spirit gave it in 1 Corinthians 2:14, it's the Spirit that gives us discernment into gifts. So I can't discover it if I want to. Discovering the gifts has got to first begin with discovering the Spirit.
Yeah.
Because he's the one that gave it. Imagine looking for what my gifts are in the body of Christ without the Spirit of Christ, without the Holy Spirit. You're just like walking in blindfolded. Like, okay, and then you're left with the wisdom of man. Like, okay, they give you these resumes now. Like, okay, hey, by the way, on a scale of 1 to 5, I'm going to describe some things and tell me what you feel you like to do. Maybe you're gifted, you know, you're a xylophone player, whatever. How did that happen? But applications, is the kingdom of God built by applications? But no, it's built through spiritual revelation. Like, okay, no. There, Pastor, there is a gift of faith. I might have it, but God will reveal it. God may have given it to me in a moment and I walked in it. It was amazing. I'm growing it in the body of Christ as it's used. My gift is not for replace, but I'm okay if I don't have it. I'm not hunting it. I don't need it for my relevance in the body of Christ, right? That's not my portion. But what we're kind of say today is that it is a gift. It does exist, and God uses it to encourage and to build his kingdom and as a witness to unbelievers. And it may mean there may be miraculous activity that happens connected to it. And a lot of guys try to make that connection, right? Because he mentions healing right after that. They want to make that connection. But the connections, they aren't necessarily married together. The Greek would have brought it out that they would, like pastor teacher, they would have had the grand voice. It would have connected, but it's not there. So it's an individual gift that may or may not involve healing, that may or may not involve tongues. All the sign gifts, it seems like relationally, all of them could be made manifest in a situation, which is what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 14 and 13. But the key is, I want to treat this gift like it's an actual gift, but it's not my job to try to figure out if I have it.
No.
It's my job to know Christ. And if I know Christ, the Spirit will reveal in time what he's called me to be, called me to do, and how he's made manifest through that. And then I can rest in that. I don't want to join the church or join the assembly where I want to get on the job and find out what am I supposed to do. I don't want to find out who I am based on what I do in the church. Because if I don't know my gifts, I don't fit.
Yeah.
And that's the worst feeling in the world, to be in a place that speaks of love and you feel you don't fit.
Yeah.
And the gifts become kind of like this checklist. Okay, you don't know your gifts, you don't fit. And until you find your gifts out, you're not fitting. But once you find your gifts out, you'll fit. We want you to fit, so we're going to tell you your gifts so that you fit. And that's a lot of religions like that, right?
Yeah, that's true.
But
wow.
We thank God for the Holy Spirit who gives us illumination and discernment.
Right? Amazing. Yep. And we're glad that Jesus was lifted up, that he would draw all men unto him. So all men are drawn to him, and whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we'd rather have Jesus.
All day.
Yeah, we'd rather have Jesus than anything.
Silver and gold.
That's it. That's right. Or any of these gifts that we've been going through this week.
Even the pennies that Trump wants to get rid of.
Yep. Whoa. Okay. Well, we dropped a little bit of politics in there. Okay. All right. So friends,
pennies,
the talk of, no, it's all right. Anyway,
sorry about that.
It's okay. We're good. We're good. Hey, thanks Pastor Ronaldo. This has been a great week here on the Grace Hour show. We'll have another week of, let me see if I can find it up here. I'll just call it up here in a second. What's the next, thing that we're looking at next week. I want to advertise. Let's go. Let's see. Is God morally good? Whoa. Okay. That's the topic for next week. We've had a great week talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Next week, is God morally good? Wow. I'm going to be thinking about that. Great question. Okay. Okay, friends. The Grace Hour show is a ministry of Greater Grace Church, and we are a church, and we do meet, and we will meet this Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m. June 1st, going into a new month on Sunday, and it'll be a communion day here. Come on out and be with us. So 9 and 11 in the morning and 6:30 in the evening. We invite you to be a part. We are located 6025 Moravia Park Drive in the eastern part of Baltimore City. So come on out if you can. The zip code here is 21206. So find us, come on out and fellowship with us if you're not fellowshipping somewhere else. But we welcome you to come and be a part of Greater Grace Church. So for Pastor Ronaldo Brown, I'm Pastor Steve Androlonis. Our engineer today has been Sebastian Palmieri. So thank you for being a part of the Grace Show. Remember, we're on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts. You can subscribe to us. Thanks for all who have subscribed. And we want to just build that subscription base and be a part of your daily listening and watching, however you're doing it. Thank you so much. Have a great Friday and have a great weekend, everyone. God bless. Yeah.